you like to see that?
All right. You want me to get started here?
Let me introduce you.
Okay. I'm going to take just a minute to introduce Chairman Cox, and it really is a pleasure to introduce Chairman Christopher Cox. He came to the commission in August after 17 years in the Congress representing a very safe district in Southern California. He left the top leadership position in the Congress. He was the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee. And to take the chairmanship of the commission. And doing so, he really went back to his roots as a corporate and securities lawyer who actually practiced law with a large law firm, which shall remain nameless, in Los Angeles. We're pleased to have Chairman Cox take part in this sixth annual video teleconference on securities regulatory and accounting issues. This will reach more people than we've ever reached before. There should be about 2,000 lawyers and law students reaching all the way from Seoul, Korea, to Bogota, Colombia, to the EU, and to various sites in the United States. I'm very pleased to introduce Chairman Cox, to welcome him to this annual conference, and we look forward to a good, interactive conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Working with Mike Eisenberg has been a great pleasure, and I trust that because I had to be 15 minutes late, you kept everyone here entertained. Mike said that he was tap dancing.
I tried.
And I very much appreciate it. I'd like to welcome our worldwide audience to the SEC's new headquarters building here in Washington, adjacent to Capitol Hill, where, as Mike mentions, I spent the last 18 years before I became SEC chairman here just a few months ago. Before my congressional career, as Mike points out, I was a partner in a large Los Angeles law firm with a corporate and securities practice, and I have to say I am pleased to be back dealing with securities laws, particularly at this most important time in the development of a truly international securities market. The success of our new globalized markets will depend on the development of reasonable regulatory standards that will permit the capital markets to gain the respect and confidence of investors, large and small, around the world. I'm speaking from the so-called closed conference room, closed commission meeting room, I should say, where many of you earn your billable hours. I'd like to thank particularly the international section of the ABA for sponsoring this program, which is now in its sixth year. It's grown every year and now involves over 1,500 lawyers in the United States, Canada, the EU, and most recently, Hong Kong. I'd also like to welcome our law school audience, which now covers my own alma mater, Harvard, as well as Berkeley, Stanford, Duke, American, Chicago, Georgetown, and John Marshall in Chicago. The very existence of a program such as this one underscores the environment in which the SEC operates today. It's an environment where the influence of global markets is felt by regulators in real time, constantly, all day, every day. The internationalization of the SEC is well illustrated by a snapshot look at what our commissioners are doing these days. Commissioner Royal Campos is participating in the IOSCO Technical Committee meetings in Frankfurt. Commissioner Cindy Glassman is recently returned from her presentation at the Brooklyn Law School Center for the Study of International Law. And Roel has recently been asked to be vice chair of IOSCO's technical committee. For my part, I've already met with the top securities regulators and accounting standard setters from many countries around the world. And in just a few days, I will join Alan Greenspan, John Snow, and Reuben Jeffrey in the U.S.-China Joint Economic Committee meetings taking place in Beijing. This internationalization stands to make our job at the SEC more complicated in some senses. As this audience well knows, even just arranging a conference call, between Washington, London, and Rome can be complicated if only because of the wildly disparate time zones involved. But none of this changes the basics of what we do, protect investors. It doesn't change our duty to assure fair and orderly capital markets, nor does it lessen our concern with efficient capital formation. And it doesn't alter the fundamental tools that we use to help us fulfill our mandate: clear and truthful disclosure and strong and swift enforcement. Fortunately, these concepts translate easily across borders. They're part of the common language that we and our foreign counterparts are continually working to develop. And it's absolutely vital that we do so, because serious collaboration is going to be necessary in addressing global investor confidence. While this collaboration doesn't change our responsibilities, it certainly informs and shapes how we will discharge them. In this regard, I want to acknowledge the work of Ethiopis Tafara, our director of our Office of International Affairs. Ethiopis and his group have taken the lead for the United States in shaping and implementing our investor protection mandate in a global environment. Despite some of the commentary you might read in the newspapers, let me assure you in person today that the SEC has no interest in imposing different regulations from those found elsewhere just for the sake of being different. Whenever we can find a way to achieve our collective regulatory goals by harmonizing, converging, or mutually recognizing our various national standards, we and our foreign collaborators will do it. The SEC's participation in the International Organization of Securities Commissioners fosters this common language of collaboration. The fundamental goals of securities regulation, according to the principles and objectives of securities regulation of IOSCO, are investor protection, fair, efficient, and transparent markets, and the reduction of systemic risk. These fundamental goals mirror the legislative mandate of the SEC to promote investor protection, the maintenance of fair and honest markets, and efficiency, competition, and capital formation. So here's an example of where the fundamentals shouldn't change, whether the regulator is acting in a local or a global context. This international language of collaboration is perhaps most necessary in the enforcement sphere. As the reach of investors into global markets expands, so too does the ability of fraudsters to move themselves and the proceeds of their frauds across national borders. Cross-border collaboration in international enforcement is also growing in importance because the massive financial frauds by major market participants have rocked the global financial world. Enron, of course, was the largest, but soon after, other larger issuers were also found to be relying on fraudulent financial statements. For more than a year after Enron, the WorldCom, HealthSouth, Global Crossing, Quest, and Tyco scandals made it appear that financial fraud was a uniquely American problem. But this dubious distinction was shattered when the Vivendi, Royal Dutch Shell, Parmalat, and other European frauds emerged. Two lessons immediately became clear. First, fraud isn't particular to any single market. And second, securities regulators need to be ever vigilant in counteracting the incentive that always exists when large amounts of other people's money are involved to cheat. Otherwise, investors might seriously and reasonably begin to question the integrity of capital markets around the world. Collaboration and discussion among regulators from around the world will certainly result in greater convergence of approaches in dealing with our shared regulatory objectives. But differences in laws, culture, and our own domestic policy choices will always remain. These differences don't mean, however, that we have to suffer a sort of regulatory Tower of Babel. Differences can be a valuable way for regulators to learn from each other about what works and what doesn't. Because markets are rapidly changing, regulators have to constantly be on the lookout for new approaches that can reinforce investor confidence. When we speak of the rapid pace of change in global markets, oftentimes what we're really talking about is technology. As capital markets become increasingly global, technology is helping domestic firms to expand around the world to seek new customers, new markets, new suppliers, new investors. That same technology, at the same time, is giving criminals greater tools. Boiler room operators no longer need phone banks in the same jurisdiction as the investors that they prey upon. Technology permits criminals to slip ill-gotten proceeds across borders with ease, making a mockery of the sovereignty that national governments so assiduously defend. Simply put, we've got to work together in order to solve these problems. I believe that the SEC, working with our international counterparts, can better harness technology to make securities regulation more effective. One area I'm particularly excited about is making our mandated financial disclosures interactive. By replacing pieces of paper or text-based computer files with data that can actually be retrieved, searched, and analyzed by users, we can enable investors and other market participants to analyze data from different sources and automatically exchange financial information across different software platforms, even on the web. These technologies will let investors manipulate and personalize the information that securities regulators require and oversee. It's pretty easy to see, therefore, that this information can be made better to meet the individual investor's own ends. And at the same time, there's a lot in this for regulators because we, too, will be able to get a lot more out of the information that we're mandating, collecting, and analyzing. Someday, interactive data will enable the user to render financial information any way he or she pleases, into GAAP, into IFRS, or any other set of accounting rules. This really is the wave of the future for international securities regulation. We face critical choices in the international securities regulatory sphere, and exciting challenges lie ahead. Just as technology is making it possible for all of us to talk across many national borders today, it will continue to improve our global dialogue. I look forward to working with all of you as we continue to build our international language of collaboration. I want to congratulate everybody for doing this. Hope that this is a good kickoff. I know there will be a lot of good work done here, and Mike, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate your taking time to come, and we look forward to participating further with our international colleagues on the issues that you raised and that will be raised later on. So thank you very
much. Thank you very much.
All right. We thought that it would be appropriate at this